Fuzzy Bread.
Fuzzy Bread.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Fuzzy Bread. This is Act 3, your fuzzy host. I have been meaning to shave, but I haven't got around to it. Well, if you are fuzzy, or if you have a loaf of bread that's been sitting out so long that it's growing hair, you might want to give it to your dog. It'll probably help Scruffy get over that cold. And if you've got a bunch of hair growing on the top of your feet, that means you're a hobbit. So if you're living in Hobbiton right now, or if you have misplaced that magic ring that turns you invisible, please email me at akktri@yahoo.com. You know, right now, I'm living in my grandma's house. My grandma passed away a while back, and my aunt has been letting me live in this place. But in a few days, I might have to move out. Right now, as I'm recording this, I'm by myself. But in a few days, I'll be moving back in my parents' house. So I'll end up having to record these broadcasts over there and have to deal with some mockery and perhaps hearing a television in the background. So after a while, there may be a delay between programs. You may actually hear a rerun of a previous program. But for right now, let's open our Bibles. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Today we are going to study Hebrews 9. A lot of people say that they find the Bible boring because of chapters like Exodus 25. Exodus 25 and the chapters after that deal a lot with the construction of the tabernacle for the Lord. It goes into a lengthy discussion about altars and decorations and all sorts of rules and regulations about the construction of this place of worship. A person can easily fall asleep and not understand what it is they're looking at here or why it's in the Bible at all. But Hebrews 9, verses 1 to 14, gives us an important insight into this subject. Now, even the first covenant had regulations for worship and an earthly sanctuary. For a tent was prepared, the outer one, in which were the lampstand and the table and the bread of the presence. It is called the holy place. Behind the second curtain stood a tent called the Holy of Holies, having the golden altar of incense and the Ark of the Covenant covered on all sides with gold, which contained a golden urn holding the manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. Above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Okay, this is why the details are spoken of in Exodus and why it is in our Bible. Let's keep reading. These preparations, having thus been made, the priests go continually into the outer tent, performing their ritual duties. But into the second only the high priest goes, and he but once a year, and not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the errors of the people. By this, the Holy Spirit indicates that the way into the sanctuary is not yet opened as long as the outer tent is still standing, which is symbolic for the present age. According to this arrangement, gifts and sacrifices are offered which cannot perfect the conscience of the worshiper, but deal only with food and drink and various ablutions, regulations for the body imposed until the time of Reformation. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy place, taking not the blood of goats and calves, but his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So you see, the original temple, with all its schematics that we see in Exodus, is actually a type and shadow of something better which is to come. That is, the temple of Christ's body and the sacrifice of Christ. Christ fulfills the function of the high priest, and he offers himself as sacrifice for our sins. Christ told the woman at the well that a time was coming and has now come where people would worship God in spirit and in truth instead of at specific locations like certain mountains or in Jerusalem or at specific temples. So Christ offered himself in this sort of new tabernacle, one not made with human hands. You see, the kingdom of heaven is the ultimate tabernacle. Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ, who acted as a high priest and offered the sacrifice of his life on our behalf to atone for our sins. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for sending your Son Jesus as a high priest to atone for our sins. Please help us to share the saving message of his forgiveness, of your forgiveness and redemption through your Son Jesus Christ. Help us to share this message with other people. I pray these things in the name of your Son, Lord. Amen.
Maranatha!
It's time once again for
Skeptic Corner!
In the last program, Mr. Skeptic Bible gave us alternate readings of a passage from Exodus 3.
Those Bible translations using watched or observed in lieu of visited imply that the Lord saw the enslavement of the Hebrews for over 400 years without doing anything about it.
Are you absolutely certain of that fact? Take a look at the story of Joseph. Joseph was thrown down a well, left for dead, given to gypsies as a slave, and thrown into an Egyptian prison. But God worked through all of these things for good.
We may ask, why did he permit their suffering to continue so long without intervening? Why did he decide now to help his people?
Why did he take so long to make Joseph a ruler of Egypt? I think it's because the life experiences that Joseph underwent helped shape him into a worthy ruler. Plus, exile was a form of punishment because Israel was being rebellious.
If he did not see the enslavement of his people, what was he doing?
Wouldn't you like to know? Notice how he automatically jumps to a conclusion that God was not there.
Maranatha!